So I want to talk to you about the who and the do. Somebody say the who and the do. So, Pastor, what is this? Some kind of, Dr. Seuss message, you know what I mean? Listen, I'm not gonna do my poems all day. Okay. But I want to talk to you about the who and the do. What's the who? Here's the who. The who is, think about who you want to be this next year. Does that make sense? Think about who you want to be this next year. It's much of what we started talking about last year, to dream. Stop thinking how you were is how you're always going to be. Stop thinking that. It's easy to think that. All of us have tried things and failed, and some of us have tried things over and over again and failed, and we come up with the after at some age you finally recognize, well, I guess I'm not ever going to become that. And I'm saying, you know what? Stop thinking that way. Have a willingness to dream. Have a willingness to think, you know what? Maybe even though I've tried, my marriage can be better than it's ever been. My relationship with my kids can be better than they've ever been. My children can start to mature in the things of God. I can get out of debt. I can draw closer to God. I know I've tried to get up early in the morning and pray, and I failed. But you know what? Just because I've failed so many times, don't let your past failures dictate where you're going. Amen? So come up with the who. And we spend so much time when we make New Year's resolutions talking about the do. The do, you know what? Let me give you some for instance. I'm not going to eat so many donuts. You know, Pastor talking about donuts. I'm going to stop eating so many donuts. You know what I mean? I love donuts, but I hate donuts. You know, I love donuts, but I hate donuts. You know, and you start thinking, that's what I'm going to. No, no. That's the do. Spend some time dreaming about the who. What's the who? The who is that you're just healthier. You're not thinking about not eating the donuts. You're just thinking about being able to get in some clothes that you used to get into. Does that make sense? You're not thinking about, you know what, whoa, we're going to get to the do because the do is really important. You know, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read my Bible. Hey, here. The who is, I'm going to draw closer to God. Does that make sense? And we so quickly get onto the do that we don't really spend a lot of time talking about the who or really thinking about it. You know, what's that? Yeah, who we want to become. And not just who we want to become, but spending some real time seeing us that way. The reason why when I was trying to lose weight, I would take one leg and put it over here, not on the scale, is because I wanted to see that. It's so important for us to see ourselves, not like we are, but how God wants us to be. This room is a great example. I've told you this story, but I'm going to repeat it because it needs to be repeated. There was a wall right here. There was a ceiling here. How many love the modernness of our ceiling? Isn't that cool? It wasn't like that. All there was just drywall. There was they had put, matter of fact, if you can get the picture of that as soon as you can, they had put these fluorescent. How many remember fluorescent bulbs? I mean, how many fluorescent bulbs were there in this room? Probably 100 of them. See, oh, look at them all over the place. And popcorn. Somebody say popcorn. How many remember popcorn ceilings? Pastor, that was this. That was this room. Well, how did you fix it? I started seeing. I stood over here, and I opened up. There was a wall here, but in the wall there was a door. I opened up that wall, and I would stand here for sometimes 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Pastor Vegas or Pastor Tamar or Pastor Paul or Joel or some of the interns. They go, well, you know, Pastor, what are you doing? But you know what? Pretty soon they didn't ask what I was doing. They knew what I was doing. What were you doing? I was seeing The who. I was seeing who we were going to become. If we did this, and we're not going to do this, this would be fun. You know what? But if we did this, if we said, everybody stand up, we're going in, we're not going to do this. Don't anybody do this. We're going to stand up, and we're going to go in the North Sanctuary, and we're going to sit in the North Sanctuary. You know this is the truth. We would go in the North Sanctuary, and we would all sit down, and there wouldn't be one chair available. Not one chair. And then what would we have to do? We'd say, okay, well, you know what? I mean, you know what I mean? That, how come we're in here with even room to grow still? How come? Because somebody saw something that wasn't what it was. They saw that, and they wouldn't see that. You've got to do the same thing in your life. So, Pastor, is that biblical? It's absolutely biblical. Abraham is told by God, Abraham, come outside and look up and look at the stars. I want you to see what I'm going to do in your family. And you're going to be the patriarch to eventually so many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you won't even be able to count them. They'll be like the stars, uncountable. How many have big families? Come on, raise your hand if you have big families. There's like, oh, I got a lot of, you know what I mean? Listen, you don't have as big a family as Abraham. Amen? That's right. That's absolutely right. But watch this. But to get a 90-something-year-old man, you know, to be intimate with his wife. Hello, somebody. Come on. And that's exactly what happened. And he's saying, look, Abraham, you got to get a clue here. This is who I've called you to be. See, sometimes our past just beats us up so bad. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, this is a true story. You know, I almost dropped out of Bible school. The first semester, I almost dropped out. You know why? Because when I was in the second grade, I flunked second grade. Okay, I got a problem with your reaction. How come there wasn't like a gasp of, I don't believe it, unbelievable. There was way too much acceptance on that one, okay? I'll give you another try, okay? I know that has nothing to do with you questioning my intellect, but I'll give you another try. Somebody, okay, when I was in this, you know what, do you know this? I flunked second grade. Somebody say, no way. Thank you. Okay, little prompting, but amen, it's happening anyway. And since that second grade, it's a true story. I don't know why they picked me. I really don't know why they picked me. But when I was in the fourth grade, they needed somebody to go over and help the second graders read. And for some reason, I really don't know why this happened, but the teacher picked me. You know, this is a true story. And I remember going over to the second grade and trying to help them read. And I remember, this is a true story. I remember the second graders correcting me in the correction of the readers. Pastor George, can you imagine that? That's unbelievable, huh? But I'm telling you, you start to get this mentality of, I can't. That's just who I am. I'm just not smart. Reading is fundamental to learning. And I didn't think that I was dumb, but I thought that I was dumb. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's what I thought. And I was at Bible college, not being the most sanctified 20-something-year-old anyway. We'll just keep on going on that one. But feeling a little out of place, thinking everybody else is more spiritual than I am, feeling just out of place. And one of my first classes was Old Testament survey. Thank you, Old Testament survey. And in Old Testament, we were on the quarter system, so we took just 2 weeks on just chunks of the Bible, and we just had to get overviews of the first test. I got a D minus, D minus in the first test. Oh, and then I took the English test, and in the English test, out of all the freshmen, there was, I think, 12 of us that flunked the English test. Wow. Okay? Listen, this is a side note, but do not ever criticize someone who has made English their second language because they mispronunciate a word. It's so ridiculous. It's so, I'm just teaching you, it's so ungodly. You know what? That person who knows a second language knows twice as many vocabulary words as you do. Because they not only know all their Spanish words or all their Latin words or all their French words, but they know most of your English words. Can somebody say amen? We need to start building people up, not tearing them down. Side note, but important note. So then I flunked the English test. So I'm in this room. I'm taking a class now at Life Bible College that I won't even get any credit for. I won't get any college credit for. It's remedial English. You know what? And I'm thinking, Drew, you got a D minus in your first test in you know what? And then you don't want this, and you know you're just in the wrong place. You know, that semester, guess who made the honor roll? I'm a bad dude, you know. And let me tell you why. It wasn't because I was ready to forget it. We allow Satan to tell us who we are. We allow Satan to tell us our marriage will never change. We allow Satan to tell us our body will never be healed. We allow Satan to say we'll never get out of debt. We allow Satan to tell us we'll never step into places where God has called us to step into. Amen. You say, Pastor, how did you do that? I tell you how I did it. Dr. Best. Somebody say Dr. Best. My son talks about Dr. Best because I taught him about Dr. Best all the time. Some of you know who Dr. Best is. Dr. Best was only at Life Bible College for one semester. Guess when it was? The semester that I was in her remedial English class. And she said, you guys are so smart. And all you have to do is understand that reading, the better you read, the better you spell. The better you spell, the better you write. The better you write, the better you speak. The better you speak, the better you read. The better you read, the better you spell. The better you spell, the better you write. And she said, it just all gets better and better and better and better. Dr. Best had the willingness to look at me and see past and really see who I was. God has the willingness to do that. I talked to a dear, dear friend of mine just this last week. I was talking to him about, I had some things I wanted to bounce off him as far as the outdoor project. And I called him up and I said, hey, bro, you know, talk to me about this. And he said this, he took the time, he said, you know what he said? He said this will make you laugh. He said, man of God, how you doing? And I said, my friend, you have been calling me that before I was that. I said, you saw something that nobody else could see. And you know what? And you pulled that with your words. You pulled me up. You pulled me out. You helped me see what I couldn't see because I was too busy with all the junk, that all the behavior problems that I had, all the sin in my life. All that I just felt like a big screw up. I felt like a failure going to happen. And this man had the foresight to see what God had called me to do. Yeah. You know what? If you'll spend some time, that's why you say, Pastor, you're spending a lot of time in this. I am, because if we are going to really, you know, my wife is such a blessing. And she sat down at the end of the year and she had these cards and she said, what is one of your best accomplishments of last year? And I thought, you know, the best thing I could come up with, I don't say this proudly, I say this, you know, I'm going to change it. But the best thing I could come up with was I lost some weight. I'm not saying that's not something to be proud of. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. But I should have had something better than that on my list for 2018. Don't you think? I do. So I want us to take some, and I'm not saying, listen, if that's on your list, that's a good thing. How many know it's a good thing to get healthier? That's okay. That's not a bad thing. You can want to lose some weight. You can want to get out of debt. But you know what? My list, and I wrote it out, this is, hey, did everybody get a card? Did everybody get a card? If you don't, guys, if you don't have a card, raise your hand real high. I want to make sure everyone has, and we're going to do this real quick. If you don't have a card, everybody was given a blank. Here, let me see your card. Everyone was given a card just like this when you walked in. If you don't have one, okay, raise your hand. I want to make sure everyone has one. So listen, on my card, okay, all right, let's focus back on here. In my card this year, I've got some things that are really important. I'm not saying that losing weight can't be one on your card, but you know what? I've got some really, I've spent some time asking God, God, what do you want me to become? So the front side of the card is what we're going to call who. Somebody say who. The front side is who. Matter of fact, right on top, say who. I mean right there, who on the front. And then the back side, guess what the back side is? Back side is do, amen? Now, everybody take your card and say, without the do, watch this, there is no who. Come on, everybody do this. Without the do, there is no who. But listen to me. Without spending time in prayer, thinking about who you want to be, here's what's going to happen. Life is going to happen. Kids are going to happen. Diapers are going to happen. Work is going to happen. And you'll get to the end of the year, and you'll say, when you think and take, how many know we only have so many years? I'm not trying to be negative. You know, how many know when you're young, can I tell you guys something? You're not going to live forever. Amen. And how many know every year you have less of a year? Pastor, this doesn't seem like a positive message. I'm not trying to be morbid, but I'm trying to be. We have to give an account of our years. And this year, I'm going to get to the end of 2019, and I'm going to have my card. And because I'm practical, I'm going to accomplish the who. Look at me. If you come in here 12 months from now, you will see a different man. Pastor, that's pretty cocky of you. No. With God, all things are possible. But God has given me a practical application, because here's what we do. We go through life thinking, you know the problem is nobody has spoke to, you know, how many has ever broken New Year's resolutions? How many ever broken? Because nobody has ever taught you how to do it. You say, I'm going to try. And then pretty soon, you don't even try. You say, those don't even work. I'm not going to do that anymore. No, you should have New Year's. You ought to look better every single year. You ought to look more like Jesus. You ought to look more like Jesus next year than this year. Amen? And I'm going to teach you how to do it today real quick. How many ready to learn? So number one, take some time on dreaming on who God wants you to be. Take some time dreaming who God wants you to be. Does God, this is so important, because for some of you, watch this, for some of you, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and say, you need to be more generous next year. You need to be more generous. You have this heart of giving. But that who has to be real concrete in your mind. You know why? Because you're going to go to the mall. See, how many like preaching that's helpful? Amen? You're going to go to the mall, and you're going to go to the mall, and if you were how you always were, if that who isn't real evident in your life. You're going to do the same thing you did last year, the same thing you did the year before, the same thing you did the year before, and you're going to buy this, and you're going to buy that, and you're going to go to Fry's, and you're going to buy a bunch of other stuff, and you're going to go Home Depot, and you're going to buy stuff, and stuff, and stuff, and stuff, and then you're just like, I want to be generous, but Buster, I can't, it's not my fault. Look, I got a quarter. You want a quarter? You're going to say, you know what? And you're going to say, it's not your fault. And I'm here to love you enough to say, you know what? Listen, you can become the who.
That's right. Come on.
But you've got to figure out who the who is. And you've got to write it down. You got to write it down. Spend some time to let God tell you who you are. Don't tell yourself. Let God say what God spoke to me. And he said, this room isn't like that. Guys, show me the room again. He said, no, Drew, that room's not like that. And I can spend time. Guys, show me the thing. And they can say, no, I can say, no, God, it is. See, that's how it is. God says, no, Drew, I want you to see it not how it is. I want you to see how it's going to be. I want you to start visioning this thing without any. I would go in restaurants and they'd have these kind of ceilings, and I'd look up and just go, wow, I bet you that'd be awesome in the South Sanctuary. I stopped calling this the Founders Hall. I stopped calling this the Fellowship Hall. You know what I started calling it? The South Sanctuary. Tamara, you remember when I started calling this the South Sanctuary? You know what? Joshua, you remember when I started calling this the Sanct? Tyler, you remember when I started calling this the Sanct Sanctuary? Shayla, you remember when I started calling this the South Sanctuary? It was the South Sanctuary before it was the South Sanctuary. And the same thing is about you. The reason I'm taking time to talk about the who is because you'll never accomplish this if you don't take some time and start to say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm resolute. That's who I'm going to become. Amen?
Amen?
All right, can I talk about the do?
Amen.
You can't, somebody give me a card. You can't do the who without the do. You can't do it. All you become, you ever known somebody and they call them I'm not negative towards dreamers, but I am negative towards people who all they do is dream. Amen? No, great, have big dreams. But flip the card over, Jackson. So, you want to become more healthy. Flip the card over and say, you know, have an application. I'm going to become more healthy. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stopping at the donut shop. You heard about the guy who made a New Year's resolution to stop eating at the donut shop? And one morning he woke up and he just was like, oh, man, I got to have a jelly filled. And he said, okay, here's what I'm going to do, God. If you provide a parking spot right in front, that's going to speak to me and I'm going to eat a jelly filled. And he said, sure enough, today, you know what? After 19 times driving around the parking lot. God. See, here's what I'm saying. Start to be practical on how it's going to be accomplished. Okay, can I teach you how that's going to happen? Okay, all right. Three things. Somebody say three things. Joel, can you help me again? This thing, I didn't even... I don't think it is. Why did it do that?
When they control it.
It is not my phone. Okay. So let's talk about how you... guys, can I have power again? Oh, I can. Okay, good. Number one, dream, vision. Get the plan from God of who you're going to be. Number two, come up with the do. Come up with the do. What's the do? The do is a practical plan. Come up with the plan. Now, here's important. I don't want you to just run out and come up with a plan. I want to give you three steps real important to how you're going to do this. Number one, ask for the Holy Spirit to help. Amen. Yes. I heard somebody the other day, they said, you know what we do? We get a plan and we ask God to bless our plan. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that? It's your plan. Here's what the Bible says in Romans. It says, put it in the back. Romans, because I don't think I have it here. Do I? No, yes, I do. Never mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Watch this. And let us run with endurance. What? The race. What kind of race? The race that is set before you. We get in, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And you come up with a plan, and the plan's messed up. And here's why it's messed up. Because it's not God's plan. You came up with your plan, and you asked God to bless it. The Bible never tells you to come up with a plan. The Bible tells you, or never to run your race. The Bible says, run the race that is set before you. See, you got to spend some time in figuring out who you are. But whether it's figuring out the who or figuring out the do, you can't do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. So, I want to be a better husband. Where I get that? The Holy Spirit is speaking that to me. But God, how do I do that? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. How are you going to do that? Does that make sense? I would get in the pool every morning. I would swim 30 laps, and that's not a lot because our pool is a little pool, but I'd spend 30 laps in the morning, a minimum of 20 laps, sometimes 50, but usually 30 laps in the morning and 30 laps at night. So why did you do that? Because I felt like the Holy Spirit was directing me to do that, to help me lose some weight. See, God will not only tell you who you are, but he'll show you how to get there. Does that make sense? But so many times we go off running before we have his plan. Amen? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. And can I take the time to say, we've got to sit back and say, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. Did I lose control again? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. Number two, I'm going to bounce it off our pastor. Somebody say, bounce it off my pastor. It's everybody say, bounce it off my pastor. Everybody say it, bounce it off my pastor. Pastor, I've never heard that. Listen to me. We get so individualized in our Americanism. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Listen, let me tell you what. Remember last week I taught you, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit for his direction. But after you get direct, has anybody ever missed it? Yeah. Raise your hand if you ever missed it. Has anybody ever missed it? Has anybody ever thought that, you know, I don't know about you, but I've missed it. I've sometimes thought God was saying something, and I've sometimes missed it, even when I thought God was saying something. Am I the only one? And what God has given us, not the Holy Spirit, not only the Holy Spirit, but God has given us pastors. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, you know this, Pastor George. The Bible says that God is the one who gives to the body pastors. Ephesians says this. God is the one who did this. You know, when we ordained Pastor Vegas, Pastor Vegas isn't Pastor Vegas because we ordained her. You know what I mean? We said, ooh, you are a pastor. All the ordination of Pastor Vegas was us recognizing what God did in her life. Does that make sense? I mean, we just would have, at some one time, she was just Vegas. Hey, Vegas. Hey, Vegas. Hey, Vegas. But after being here a long enough time, we recognized who she was. She wasn't just Vegas. She was Pastor Vegas. Yeah, but after 8 years, did she become, after 5 years? No, we don't have it written down in no church manual. You know, after you're on staff for 8 years, after you're on staff for 5 years. No, it's not an on manual. It was because we recognized what God had done in her life. And then all we did was say, hey, we probably ought to recognize this corporately. That's called ordination. Does that make sense? But those pastors are given to us to help us, to guide us. I have been so helped. I have been so saved by doing some crazy things. How much was your life helped as you weren't sure about something and you spoke to your pastor? I'm not trying to pick you out. I'm just, no, is that not true? And in an area where you thought, oh my goodness, I'm not sure, I'm boom, boom, boom. Pastor Tamara could see something. And maybe you saw it too, but she saw it with a clarity, maybe that you didn't even see at first. The enemy kept on telling you, don't go to Pastor Tamara. Kept on telling you that. Can I be honest with somebody? This wasn't even in my notes. All I had was my first point was ask the Holy Spirit for his help. And my third point, which you're going to find out now, make sure it's a practical plan that you can be accountable. I'll get to that in a minute. I had point one and two. I don't know what time it was last night, but the Holy Spirit said, you're missing a point. There's so much problems in the body of Christ because we have so many people who won't use their pastors. They don't bounce anything off their pastors. It's like, oh, you know what? I don't need to ask them. It's, you know what it comes? The Bible says, pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. There's a lot of destruction taking place and there's a lot of falling taking place that is needless if you would just be humble and use the under shepherds that we are to help you. Amen? You're not going to come in my office. You know what? Matthew, you're not going to come in your office. I'm going to say, Matthew, let me tell you, I know what you should do. Do this and do that and do this and do that and make sure you do this. And I don't care about what you say. Just do it. That's not what you're going to get. That's not what's going to happen. But if you come to me and say, hey, Pastor Drew, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that. You know what? What do you think? I'm going to ask you some questions to think how much you've, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And a lot of that, listen, a lot of that is seasoned by the Holy Spirit in, you know, at this point, 30-something years in ministry. I'm not saying I know everything. What I am saying is two heads are better than one. Amen. And when I was under Pastor Bradford, me and his heads were smarter, particularly because he had seen things that I hadn't experienced before. He can see sometimes, and we just get, and it's, listen, for you young people, it's not that you don't know a lot of stuff. I mean, some of the ideas Christian comes up with and the plan are just genius. Amen. How old are you, Christian? 16 years old, you know what? I mean, just great, amen, great stuff. Amen. So it's not that I need to say, oh, Christian don't know everything, and I know everything, and I got to teach him because he is 16, and I'm, you know what, 38, and I know more than. Oh, come on. Here, give me my card. It's on my card. You know what? Be more honest, you know what I mean? Stop lying. Okay, that's okay. That was smooth, huh? But it's not that, It's not that I need to say, you know what, Christian, I know everything and you know nothing. No, I need to be humble too and recognize we all can learn from each other. But I'm also smart enough to know that Pastor Bradford, when he was 60-something years old, knew a lot more than I knew at 20-something. Amen. And I also knew, listen to me, that is my commitment. I'm not gonna be condescending. You know what? I'm going to be partnering. I'm going to say, hey, let's talk about this. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bounce it off your pastor. Bounce it off your pastor. So important. You've been given help. You don't have to do this alone. Okay. And the last one, and I have some real good notes that we'll talk about next week. But, I think the last one we'll see. Is this, make sure it's practical plan so you can hold yourself accountable and so that you can measure the results. Let me untie this. When you're writing down the do's, don't give me some generic, you know what, I'm going to be a better person, you know, the front part, I'm going to be a better person. You know what I mean? How are you going to do that? I'm going to love more. I'm going to love more. How are you going to measure that? I'm going to love more. What is that? Amen? What is that? It don't even make any sense. I'm going to love more. It's, you can't measure it. It's all just based on, you're going to come to the end of the year, and the truth is you're not going to know whether you love more or whether you don't. Have a practical plan that you can measure it, because when you measure it, you hold yourself accountable. Let me illustrate. If you say, I want to get closer to God. How many want to get closer to God 2000? Okay, well, listen, that's a great who. But the do, what would be the do? The do, if that was my goal, I want to be closer to God. I turn it over and the do, the number one thing I'd say is, I'm going to read my Bible every day. This is God's speaking to you. If you start reading your Bible, you'll trip out how many times the very thing that you need is the very thing that will be in the chapter that we're reading. I don't know how he does that. I do. This is alive. This is alive. And God will speak to you. But watch this. Practical, measurable. I want to get closer to God. Monday, you don't read your Bible. Tuesday, you don't read your Bible. Wednesday, you don't read your Bible. Thursday, you don't read your Bible. Friday, you don't read your Bible. Come to the end of the week, oh no, how come I don't feel closer to God? I do. Like, give me your card, I'll show you why. Give me your card, I'll show you why. Because when you had the, I want to get closer to God, in the back you said, I'm going to read your Bible every day. You know what? You haven't do, you're not doing the do's. You know what James says? James says, first chapter says, that you are going to be blessed in what you do. Somebody say do. You're going to be blessed in what you do. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and turn to it. Oh, this is so good. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be a doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Coming to church is awesome. But because you came to church, here, can I show it to you in a practical way? Are you sure? It's going to hurt. Okay. How many of you came to church last week and heard me say, go home and write out one thing, write it down on a piece of paper, one thing that God wants to change in your life? How many heard me say that? Raise your hand if you heard me say, real high. Right. See, you know I'm going to set you up real high. Okay, put your hands down. How many did it? Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, so if you had your hand up but you didn't have it for the second time, here's what I'm saying. Having heard isn't having done. And sometimes we think, oh, I heard it. Oh, Pastor, you know what, Pastor, I'm fired up. You preach a fiery message. I'm fired up. No, all you are is having heard. Having heard isn't having done. Because I preach a wonderful sermon on love doesn't mean that you're more loving. See, we think we're more loving because we heard a sermon on being more loving. No, all we did was hear a sermon on, and I'm not saying that's not an important part. Because in the sermon, The Holy Spirit can cut your heart through the Word and take out that selfishness right out. It's the word sharper, two-edged sword, able to cut and pierce the bone in the mire and get to what's really going on in your heart. But at that point in time, all you do is have an opportunity to change. You don't change because you just heard. That's why James says, stop. Do you think you're changed because you heard? But be a doer of the word, not a holy, a hearer only, deceiving yourself. You heard the word, but you're not changed. You're changed when you allow the word to affect your behavior. Next verse. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. But he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He doesn't really know who he is. He thinks he's some way, but he's not that way. So I go to Albertsons. I look fine. I look nice. I got no powdered sugar on my mouth because I see the mirror. But then I go in the break room and I eat my, you know, what do I eat? I eat my powdered donuts with my chocolate milk. If you had an eye on me at Albertsons, almost every other break I would buy chocolate milk with white powdered donuts. And that's what I would have for my break. Well, there was no mirror in the break room. So I would come out, and because I looked in the mirror, but what did I look in the mirror? I looked in the mirror at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now it's afternoon. I took my break. I come out, and guess what I look like? I look like a snowman. Thank you very much. Frosty the snowman. That's exactly what I look like. And here's the crazy part. You know what? 38 customers have come by my line, and it took the 39th for them to say, hey, Drew. And I look and I think, oh my goodness, all 37 of those customers saw the dorkiness that I was. Can I tell you what? We're self-deceived because we won't look in the mirror. You've got to have something measurable. Somebody say measurable. Measurable. You know what? I'm going to get closer to my wife by listening to 3 times a week Jimmy Evans podcasts. Hello, somebody. See, what is that? It's measurable. It not only you need to measure it, you need to hold yourself accountable. Somebody say accountable. Okay, so my wife, who is noticing that I'm getting, this is whatever, 6 months ago. When did Jody leave? Okay, figure out. Whenever Jody, maybe 6, 5 months ago, she noticed, you know what, I was getting a little pudgy-wudgy. But she didn't say anything to me. She didn't say, Drew, you get a little chubby there. She didn't say any of that to me. But one day she said, hey, we're doing this keto diet. You want to do it? And Tamara, I forgot what I said. What did I say? I said, no, thank you. That's it. I said, no, thank you. I'm fine. Somebody say, I'm fine. And here's why I said I was fine. Because there was no measure. Somebody say, no measure. No measure. Guys, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. We need to start measuring what's going on in our life. And you can't measure it if your plan is just generic. I'm just going to love people more. What is that? Oh, I'm going to go to church more. But you're not marking anything on the calendar. And next year, you're not going to church any more than you were the year before. But in your mind, you just think that. Amen? I mean, our mind, we self-deception. We are living in self-deception. I was driving around Costa Mesa in my Karmic Ghia, 73 Karmic Ghia, going to a church, being part of the worship team on the church, and not tithing. I mean, I'd give $10 every once in a while. But you know what? I had a job. They're a small church. They needed my help. Listen, you have no idea. You're like, well, we're not a small church anymore. Listen, we have more ministry going out. We need people to become tithers at this church. Amen. We need you to to start and help. Amen. Well, yeah, but that, you know, listen, if it's not your responsibility, whose responsibility is it? You know what I mean? And everybody goes, no, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. And for the most part, you know what? So churches are underfunded and they're not doing what they're supposed to be called to do. Amen. Who's going to fund the church if we don't fund the church? That is the tithe plan. The plan is that the tithe would be given to fund the ministry. That's God's plan. Amen? It is. Where was I, Tamara? Measurable. Karmagia. I'm going around. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thought, I'm totally in self-deception. Why? Because I wouldn't measure it. I'm thinking, I'm a giver. You know why, Pastor George? Because my dad was a tither. My dad and mom were a tither and a giver. They used to get, when I was little, they used to give me dollars and say, put that in the offering. What are they trying to teach me to give? But you know what? I'm too busy spending my dollars on candy, amen. And when I got older, the candy just turned into, you know what, computers and video games and, you know what, and clothes and all my stuff. And I'm in a nice Karmagia. I'm telling you, the Karmagia had a good sound system. I was grooving, you know what I mean? Even listening to Christian music. Pastor George, listening to Striper, man. This is a true story. I'm dating myself, but you know what? And somebody on the radio, some preacher on the radio had the integrity to call me selfish. Stingy. He called me stingy too, he used both words. But he called me stingy and he called me selfish, and that it was measured, because finally I was able to go, oh my goodness, everything I spend is on myself. And I started thinking about Mesa Bible Chapel, and I started thinking about that pastor and Pastor Bill. You know, it was such a honor. This is above the tithe. Well, you shouldn't say it. Okay, I'm not going to get my reward, but I'm going to teach you something here. I'm doing this purposeful. I remember going to the swap meet, not on Sunday, on Saturday, and buying Pastor Bill a briefcase. And then I went to the bank, and I first of all, I had a $100 bill, and I put it in that briefcase. And I thought, nah, that doesn't. I'm gonna do something funner. I went to the bank and I got $100 bills. And I put $100 bills in that briefcase. And I gave that briefcase to Pastor Bill. And that was just part. But what happened was God changed my life. But I started measuring it out every single week. Because we don't measure it out. Every single week, I would see what I made. You said, Pastor, I don't think you were speaking. You know, I'm all uncomfortable now because you're talking about money. Well, your uncomfortableness in me talking about money has nothing to do with me. I'm real comfortable talking about money. Maybe, I'm just saying maybe, God is trying to get you in a different place than you are. I'm just saying. I don't know what it is. Maybe that is part of your point. Maybe part of your resolution needs to be that you need to get on board and recognize your responsibility, our shared responsibility as being people of this church, that we would support what God is doing. The biblical model is the tithe. So what happened? See, because here's what we do. We don't even recognize what's going on in our lives. My wife is saying, hey, you know what? You know, you should get on keto. I'm like, I'm fine. You know why I was fine? Because it had been months before I got on the scale. I had lost 36 pounds back in the day, and I gained 32 of those pounds back. I was almost as heavy as I ever been. And why? Well, because I was deceived. Why was I deceived? Because I didn't get on the scale. I was like, ah, how many know you just change your belt a little bit? You know what I mean? You can just, you know, they have these things. You can just poke a new hole in it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm not that big. You know, I'm just not poke another hole. Amen? And what did I tell her? I'm fine. She knew I wasn't fine. But she was just too sweet of a wife to tell me how pudgy I was getting. All I'm saying is, listen, all I'm saying is, you know what? Have a plan, but have a practical plan. Stop having it be generic. You know why it's generic? It's generic because you don't want accountability. I know that sounds harsh. But have it practical where you can measure it. Okay? Did you learn something? How am I so glad you're here today? Amen. Okay. How many know we had a great year last year? Tamara, thank you so much. We had a great year last year. I just want you to see some. There's not all. We weren't able to get everybody in the video. We're sorry. I mean that. But we just want you to see remember some of the cool things that happened last year. Watch this.
Okay. I think I'm really, really glad for the who and the do. Does that resonate with you guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever had said, I want to be, I hear people all the time say, I want to put God first more.
Yes.
I want to be closer to God. I'm going to be more committed to God. I hear, you hear it. Maybe you've even said it. But then time goes by, the end of the year comes, and we go, oh. And we feel like a failure. That measurable results is so, so important. So let it be a clean slate in a new day, amen? Because if, and furthermore, the word is real clear that if we fail, a righteous man gets back up and tries again. So wherever you're at on this, just know if you've never had a practical plan, because those do's are the discipline that you're setting. You ever heard the, what do they say? If, you know what the definition of crazy is? You know what? That you're going to keep doing the same thing and think you're going to get different results. When we just have a resolution, but we don't have a discipline to go with it, that's how we end up with crazy and failure and all of that. So those do's, and don't, you know, I hear people, I'm going to read Bible five times in a day. No, bite size. Don't forget the bite size. Do something that you can do. We're so much healthier today than we used to be, but it did not happen overnight. We first stopped drinking soda. Not even stopped. We first said one soda a day because I was a caser. You know what I mean? And then we said, you know what? Like one soda a week is what I tried. And then I said, no soda. I'm just going to drink more water. And all of those little disciplines just make a huge difference. If you'll just get one small discipline to go with your who is God asking you to be, what are you not lining up with in the word? Get that small discipline, get that bite-sized piece, and just start walking it out. And that bite-sized piece is the discipline that it's going to take to change you wherever it is that the change is needed.
Right.
Amen? Okay. And if we don't have that bite-sized discipline piece, we're not going to change because we're not going to do anything different. There has to be something different being done. All right? And even, do you mind, even listening to Jimmy Evans, we always encourage couples, you know what, to listen to Marriage Today. That's a podcast by Jimmy Evans. We encourage couples to listen to Marriage Today on a regular basis. Keep that a steady part of your diet. Why? Because that's keeping God's word and what he says about your marriage in front of your face all the time. You're constantly being taught God's word concerning that relationship. But you can listen to it 7 days a week and still have no change. Do you know that? You've got to take whatever you're hearing in Marriage to Today, and then you need to begin to apply it. See, there's got to be that do. So even if you just said, okay, well, I'm going to listen to that podcast every day because I do want to have, you know what, a stronger marriage, a more godly marriage. You know, I want to be a better husband, a better wife. Even if you did that, there's still going to be practical things that you're going to have to implement to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want to.
What was the podcast name again?
It's called Marriage Today, and it's by Jimmy Evans, Jimmy and Karen Evans, and it's called Marriage Today. So they do a 30-minute podcast. You know what? You can just listen to it. It's just awesome. So and that will help you. You know what? To have better, stronger marriages, because it's all about God's word. Amen.